News of the Church and Comment. President Gordon B. Hinckley shared his wit and wisdom with thousands of viewers and talk show host Larry King on the cable television show Larry King Live during an interview taped at the Conference Center in December 2004. President Hinckley, making his fourth appearance on the show since 1998, focused many of his comments on the importance of the family in society. When all is said and done, the greatest satisfaction you will have in this life as you grow old will be seeing your children grow in righteousness and faith and goodness as citizens of the society of which they are a part, President Hinckley said. In addition to addressing issues pertinent to the spiritual safety of families, President Hinckley answered questions about politics and the war in Iraq. "We believe in peace," President Hinckley said. "We work for peace. We pray for peace, but we are all citizens of the nation, and we meet our responsibility as that responsibility is defined by our leadership." Before the interview, President Hinckley presented King with a binder containing the host's family history, including genealogy and other historic and legal documents that help tell the story of King's family. "I have received some enormous gifts through my life," King said, "but this I will treasure more than any other." Despite addressing some sobering topics, President Hinckley remained optimistic throughout the interview, and his sense of humor was evident. Asked about his mental spryness, President Hinckley pointed first to his head and said, "This end of me seems to work all right, then to his legs, but this end does not." Speaking of the law of tithing, President Hinckley said, "It's the Lord's law." He set it forth in about that many words, holding his thumb and forefinger close to one another. You contrast that with the Internal Revenue Code. Note the difference. President Hinckley also commented on how he has faced the hardships that came with the passing of his wife, Sister Marjorie Pay Hinckley. "You never get over it." "Of course you don't," President Hinckley said. "But the best thing you can do is just keep busy. Keep working hard so you're not dwelling on it all the time. Work is the best antidote for sorrow." After, King told President Hinckley it was good to know the prophet has been so richly blessed after having a little rascal in him as a freckled-faced kid. President Hinckley expressed his gratitude for the blessings he has received. "I've been blessed so abundantly that I can never get over it," President Hinckley said. "I just feel so richly blessed that I want to extend that to others wherever I can." Note, Church News contributed to this report. President Hinckley meets members, missionaries in Southeast United States. Nearly 12,000 members of the church in the states of South Carolina and Georgia gathered to hear the words of President Gordon B. Hinckley, Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, and Elder D. Todd Christofferson of the Presidency of the 70, in person or by satellite, broadcast to 11 states during a November 20th through 21st regional conference. President Hinckley spoke on the pillars of righteousness, using an analogy of the pillars holding up the roof of the Salt Lake Tabernacle that is currently undergoing renovation. President Hinckley spoke during the priesthood leadership session, the general session, and a meeting with missionaries. Elder Ballard spoke about missionary work, referring to the new Preach My Gospel emphasis for missionaries. He encouraged members to have the desire, strength, and courage to share what they know to be true. Elder Christofferson addressed the congregation regarding the need to nurture new members of the church through befriending them, giving them a responsibility, and nurturing them with the teachings of the gospel. The conference was held in the West Columbia, South Carolina stake. Participating by satellite were the Charleston, Columbia, Florence, Greenville, and Greenville East stakes in South Carolina, and the Albany, Augusta, Columbus, Douglas, Macon, and Savannah stakes in Georgia. "It's the most wonderful experience I've had in my life," said 17-year-old Amanda Gettings of the Newberry Branch, West Columbia, South Carolina stake, after the meeting. "I've never felt the Spirit so strongly, and I am so thankful that I can be a member of this church." Note, adapted from Church News, November 27th, 2004. End of note. Elder Nelson tours six African countries. Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles and Elder Merrill J. Bateman of the Presidency of the 70, assisted by members of the two area presidencies, presided over stake and district conferences, taught mission presidents in two seminars, and addressed members and missionaries in Ethiopia, Nigeria, Ghana, South Africa, Mozambique, and Zimbabwe during a 15-day tour of Africa from November 8th through the 23rd. In Addis Ababa, the capital of Ethiopia, Elder Nelson dedicated the country for the preaching of the gospel. That afternoon, he addressed about 200 Ethiopian members and their friends. In Lagos, Nigeria, Elder Nelson presided over the Port Harcourt Nigeria State Conference, one of 22 stakes in Nigeria, while Elder Bateman traveled to Ghana, where he presided over the Swedru Ghana District Conference. Joining Elder Bateman in Ghana, Elder Nelson addressed about 1,600 members in the Accra, Ghana Christian Borg Stake Center, adjacent to the Accra, Ghana Temple, on November 16th. In Johannesburg, South Africa, Elder Nelson and Elder Bateman participated in a seminar for mission presidents. Later, Elder Bateman journeyed to Maputo, Mozambique, where he presided over a district conference. Elder Nelson traveled to Harare, Zimbabwe, where he presided over the Harare, Zimbabwe State Conference. He also observed the church welfare program at work. In place of the typical landscaping, church meeting houses in Zimbabwe are surrounded by garden plots where members plant, cultivate, and harvest their own food. Note, adapted from the Church News, December 4, 2004. End of note. Church continues aid to tsunami victims by Chad Ferris, Church Magazines. Months after deadly tsunamis killed more than 150,000 people across southern Asia, the Church continues its humanitarian efforts in hopes of restoring self-sufficiency and order within the countries ravaged by waves that resulted from a 9.0 magnitude underwater earthquake, the strongest in 40 years. While the Church immediately supplied critical commodities such as food, hygiene kits, medical supplies, and shelter, the focus of the relief has turned to analyzing what will best help the citizens of the affected countries move forward. Bishop Richard C. Edgley, first counselor in the presiding bishopric, visited Indonesia and Sri Lanka, and at press time the Church was in the process of creating a long-term plan to aid those in need. When it comes to a major tragedy, as we have all witnessed on the television, on the news, and in the newspapers, compassion knows no boundaries. It has no cultural boundaries. It has no religious boundaries, Bishop Edgley said. Wren Patch, Director of Administrative Services in the Welfare Services Department, said the immediate shelter and food issues have mostly been addressed, and that the Church is determining how to best help those in need regain self-reliance. The world's attention is transitioning from short-term to long-term issues of self-sufficiency, Brother Pat said. Among other things, some of the issues that must be addressed are the needs for schools, clean water, and medical services, he said. Although the results were tragic for communities battered by the waves, most church members and all missionaries reportedly had been spared the catastrophe's devastation. As of press time, there were no confirmed deaths of church members as a result of the tsunamis. One local church member was missing. Several members received minor injuries, and at least two member families were displaced from their homes in Sri Lanka. No church property was reported damaged. Bishop Edgley commended local members for their personal and family preparation, noting that having items such as emergency supplies and food storage allowed them to reach out to others more quickly because their own family's needs were already met. Meanwhile, hundreds of thousands are homeless, and many are fighting sickness and injuries. Members around the world have participated in relief efforts. It happened almost instantaneously, not just in those countries, but in places as far away as Hong Kong, Bishop Edgley said of the assistance given by members worldwide. In Hong Kong, more than 450 church members and investigators gathered in the Holman 10 meeting house to assemble 15,000 hygiene kits, as of press time, for Sri Lanka and plan to do more. Members in India and Thailand also prepared hygiene kits and gathered cooking materials. A press release issued by the First Presidency, days after the destruction, urged our people to remember in their prayers those in the devastated areas and to contribute most generously in fast offerings, which will make it possible for the church to increase its aid to those whose suffering is so great. Although relief efforts have helped those affected by the tsunamis, the damage done to the coast of the affected countries was extensive. Church Emergency Response Director Gary Flake, who visited Southern Asia soon after the tsunamis hit, called the wreckage a sobering situation. "The destruction came so quickly," Brother Flake said. "It caught hundreds of thousands of people racing for their lives." Though few missionaries were serving near areas struck by the waves, they have continued to give assistance in relief efforts. Those serving in Sri Lanka have helped make hygiene kits, delivered food to the hungry, and cook breakfast for those displaced from their homes. Missionaries in the Thailand Bangkok mission have participated in packing food and hygiene kits and loading trucks. 30 missionaries met with stranded tourists in Bangkok at the Thammasat University to provide translation services. Missionaries in the Indonesia Jakarta mission have assisted members in purchasing and shipping supplies to needy areas and assembling 3,000 hygiene kits. Mission presidents in affected countries have said their missionaries will continue to give assistance as needed. "There are going to be needs here for a long time," Brother Flake said. Note: Church News contributed to this report. End of note. Growth, Physical Facilities, Wonderful Challenge, by Patricia S. Norwood, Church Magazines. Missionary work has been described as a marvelous work, and with a truly marvelous number of new members finding the gospel comes the challenging work of housing the new and expanding stakes and districts of the church. The day President Gordon B. Hinckley greeted the public as president of the church, he noted some of the challenges posed by an ever-growing church. "The most serious challenge we face, and the most wonderful challenge, is the challenge that comes of growth. Accommodating the tremendous growth of the church presents many problems and entails the construction of houses of worship and other facilities, but what a remarkable and wonderful challenge that is." Quoted in J.M. Todd, President Gordon B. Hinckley, 15th President of the Church, Ensign, April 1995, page 6. With that same optimistic attitude, the church's physical facilities department has endeavored to keep up with the demand for new meeting houses. In a general conference address last November, President Hinckley said, "We now have at some stage 451 meeting houses of various sizes under construction in many parts of the earth. This tremendous building program is phenomenal. I know of nothing to equal it." Condition of the church, Ensign, November 2004, page 4. Approximately 300 new meeting houses are built worldwide each year, with 150 existing meeting houses receiving additions. Two-thirds of the construction is taking place outside of the United States. The church has had many years of experience and has developed proven processes for constructing meeting houses. "Out of that vast experience," President Hinckley said, "we are producing better buildings than have ever previously been constructed in the church." Ensign, November 2004, page 4. Before a meeting house is built, the physical facilities department evaluates whether there are other options to house the ward or branch, such as sharing a building with a nearby ward or branch, adjusting meeting schedules to accommodate more wards or branches in a building, or expanding existing meeting houses. If it is determined that a new meeting house is needed, a request is made and prioritized based on other requests and available resources. Once a request is approved, it is added to a plan for proposed projects and sent to the Church Appropriations Committee for review. If the plan is approved, the meeting house is designed, built, and dedicated. Often the church uses standard plans to cut costs and increase efficiency when building, provide support to church programs, and present the desired image to the surrounding community. "Our structures are beautiful," President Hinckley said. "They add to the ambience of any community in which they stand. They are well maintained. They combine beauty with great utility. If they look much the same, it is because that is intended. By following tried and tested patterns, we save millions of dollars while meeting the needs of our people." End sign, November 2004, page 4. In many cases, the biggest challenge in constructing a meeting house is purchasing a site for the building. In some areas with large populations, land is scarce and often expensive. This issue has led to a few temples such as Manhattan, New York, and Hong Kong, China, being built out of existing buildings owned by the church. In areas such as these, multi-story designs are often used in building meeting houses. In the past, a large challenge for members came from having to provide a large portion of the funds for the buildings themselves. Now members are not asked to sacrifice their money for the buildings, but they are asked to give of their time to help care for and clean the houses of worship. Although this does help the church financially, it also helps provide a sense of ownership and respect for the members who attend there. Another challenge comes from the misunderstanding some have about the church. Occasionally, opposition from the community occurs when a new building is announced. The church works to resolve these concerns whenever possible. It is not uncommon to see divine intervention on behalf of the Lord's church. As the church continues to grow in membership, the work of building houses for the Lord will carry on because they are the places where the gospel is taught, sacred covenants are entered into, and lives are changed. It is true that the sun never sets on this work of the Lord as it is touching the lives of people across the earth, President Hinckley said in a November 2003 General Conference address. Our work knows no boundaries. Under the providence of the Lord, it will continue. Those nations now closed to us will someday be open. That is my faith. That is my belief. That is my testimony. The State of the Church, Ensign, November 2003, page 7. In the news, Wisconsin family honored for hard work. While making dinner or planning a vacation are the extent of some family's projects, the Shelleys of Kettle Moraine Ward, Milwaukee, Wisconsin South Stake, have tackled something a little more complex. Their work has led to national honors from the family. Sister Joan Shelley was named the 2004 National Association of Women Business Owners Entrepreneurial Woman of the Year. In addition, Brother and Sister Shelley attended a holiday party at the White House late last year after receiving an invitation from U.S. President George W. Bush. 5 years ago, Joan and Emery Shelley decided to begin an internet business, selling cabinet hardware and bathroom accessories. The company, which is headquartered in the family's basement, now employs 20 people, including all 8 of the couple's children. Sister Shelley, who spearheads the business as Brother Shelley continues to work full-time outside the home, said there are 2 reasons she began the business. Number 1, so I could stay at home, and number 2, so I could teach my kids how to work. Thanks to hard work, the Shelleys have been able to see the temporal and spiritual blessings of being able to work together as a family. It's a wonderful opportunity because it's a fun thing to do together, Sister Shelley said. In addition to helping promote family unity, the business has also grown from an internet operation to include 2 stores in the Milwaukee area. Church announces dates for new temple. The First Presidency has announced the open house and dedication dates for the new San Antonio, Texas temple. The public open house will be held April 16th through May 2, 2005. Following a cultural celebration on Saturday, May 21st, the temple will be dedicated in 4 sessions on May 22nd. The temple will open for ordinance work the next day. The temple was announced on June 24, 2001. Arizona saints make a difference. While some paid little attention to the recent Make a Difference Day, members of the Casa Grande, Arizona stake took the challenge and truly made a difference in the lives of those served by Against Abuse, an organization that helps victims of domestic violence. Members planted trees, erected gazebos, donated quilts, and decorated Against Abuse's main shelter with rugs, curtains, pictures, and plants. Marilyn Cooper, a member of the Casa Grande Third Ward, helped organize the project. I thought it was interesting that ladies who are here in the shelter came up and thanked us and told us how pretty it looked, Sister Cooper said. That touched me deeply. Young Women Broadcast Set. The General Young Women Meeting will be held on March 26, 2005, at the Conference Center in Salt Lake City. This year's mutual theme is A Great and Marvelous Work. The program will be broadcast that day at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time and rebroadcast at 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on the Church Satellite System to the United States, Canada, the Caribbean, Mexico, Central America, Brazil, parts of Uruguay, and other parts of South America. Rebroadcast times for other areas of the church are following Saturday or Sunday at various times. The program will be broadcast in 47 languages and will be closed captioned in English. Not all languages are offered in every area. A live audio stream of the broadcast will be available online. Go to www.lds.org/broadcast for changes and updates. On March 28th, audio streams will be available in most of the 47 languages in the broadcast archive. A DVD recording of the event will be made available a few months after the broadcast. Changes are possible in broadcast times and the availability of languages. For up-to-date information, contact local leaders. Comment. My choice. When I received the December end sign, for some reason I couldn't put it down to go to bed. The past month or so I have been having a difficult time with a very tough and personal decision I made 3.5 years ago. After reading my daughter's choice, I knew why I couldn't go to bed tonight. I wasn't 18 when I found myself with an unexpected pregnancy. I was 25, and if I didn't know better, I would say this was my story. It will soon be 3 years since I have seen my daughter, and even though I know I placed her for adoption for all the right reasons, sometimes I lose sight of the Master's plan and wish I had my sweet daughter back. The excerpt from the father's letter telling his grandson why his mother placed him for adoption expressed my exact reasons for placing my baby girl for adoption. Thank you so much for publishing the article, because it came at a time when I really needed it. Name withheld. Worth of a photo. Thanks for the photograph of President Hinckley, Elder Uchtdorf, and Elder Bednar on the cover of the November 2004 issue. Sometimes a picture is worth 1,000 sermons. Janine 2, Valley View, 4th Ward, Salt Lake Valley View Stake. Call for articles. If you have had experience with the following situation, we invite you to share your suggestions. How can we magnify our callings while at the same time following the counsel of church leaders to reduce and simplify our approach to church service? Send responses by April 18, 2005 to Ensign Editorial, 24th Floor, 50 East North Temple Street, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-3220, USA, or to cur-editorial-ensign@ldschurch.org. Clearly mark your submission, questions and answers, and at the top of your submission, write your name, address, telephone number, email address, and ward and stake or branch and district. While we cannot acknowledge receipt of individual responses, authors whose submissions are selected for publication will be notified. If you would like your manuscript returned, enclose a self-addressed stamped envelope and allow up to a year. End of News of the Church and Comment.